At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
It's the
dictionary.
It's the dictionary.
Ha 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 ha. Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is the dictionary. It's my podcast. Yeah, I don't know. This is F219. Episode F219, and we are going to talk about the words real quick. Let's say, please email me if you want to email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. You can leave a voicemail, which I will put in an episode unless you tell me not to, by calling the Google Voice number 917-727-5757. You can buy merchandise. There's a link to TeePublic in the show notes. You can follow my social media at DictionaryPod or at SpeeJampar. And what are some other things? Oh, obviously, Patreon. $1 a month gets you very early episodes. And some other things, maybe. I don't remember what else to say, so I'm going to say that the first word in this episode is the word fret. This is the second form of fret. Noun from the 15th century. Number 1A, this is the action of wearing away, and the synonym is erosion. Similar to what we had in the first form, I'm not familiar with this. 1B, a worn or eroded spot is a fret. So, it's making me think about stuff. So, where something is eroded away, it is called a fret. And number 2, an agitation of mind, and the synonym is irritation. It's irritating my mind. It's a fret in my head. This thing is so frustrating and irritating. Okay. Well, now let's make a sound effect. I'm going to do whoops. The third form of fret is a verb from the 14th century. This one is only transitive. So just a reminder, at the end of the previous episode, we also had the verb form of fret, but this is a different one. So it's going to be a whole bunch of different, it's a different topic, basically. So number 1A for this one is to decorate with interlaced designs. Fretting something to make it fancy? 1B is to form a pattern upon. So if you are putting a pattern on something, then you are fretting it. All right, number 2, to enrich with embossed or carved patterns. Yep, very similar. But nothing to do with erosion, not at all. Let's see. Let's look at the etymology for this one. This is from the Middle English, fret or fretted, which means adorned, or also interwoven. From the Anglo-French, fret, fretter, which means to tie. So maybe when you're making these interlaced designs, you're tying things up together. Probably from the Vulgar Latin, firmitare, which is from the Latin firmus, which means firm. So maybe when you're tying the things, you're making them very firm. You can't pull them apart. And it's interlaced, and it's fancy now. Very fancy. Whoops! The fourth form of fret is a noun from the 14th century. Number 1, an ornamental network especially a medieval metallic or jeweled net for a woman's headdress. Hmm. Obviously, this is connected to the previous form of the word fret. And I need to look up, let's see, fret. What do I type in? Fret headdress, I guess? Headdress. Because I assume it's going to be very fancy. It's going to have probably, you know, interlaced designs and patterns and such like that. So, yes, I'm seeing pictures of this fret that medieval women would wear. A couple of them sort of come from the head and it sort of goes out. There's like one on either side of the top of the head that sort of flare out in two directions, 45 degrees from the head, and then it just sort of this big fabric that sort of drapes down to just below their shoulders. There's other forms of this, other versions, but yes, you know, they all seem fancy. Okay, now, what is next? We got number two for this one. An ornament or ornamental work, often in relief, consisting of small straight bars intersecting one another in right or oblique angles. An ornament or ornamental work. So it's a very, seems like it's a very specific style of this fret or ornamental stuff. Okay. Yeah, this is fascinating that we've had four forms of the word fret and I haven't been really familiar with any of them. But now we have another one. Whoops! It's the fifth form of fret. Noun from circa 1500. This is one of a series of ridges fixed across the fingerboard of a stringed musical instrument. And an example of that stringed musical instrument would be a guitar. One of them guitars. Fretless is an adjective and fretted is also an adjective. This one I know. I have heard of these frets. I have seen these frets. I have touched these frets. I have sort of played a guitar using the frets. The etymology for this one says it is perhaps from the Middle French fret, which means ferrule. That's pretty much it, but what does that word mean? Ferrule. I don't remember that one at all. Let's go back and just do a quick little look if I can find... Why am I not using this? Paperclip. I guess I don't really need to because I just leave the book open all the time. All right. Ferrule. Here we go. A ring or cap, usually of metal, put around a slender shaft to strengthen or prevent splitting. A usually metal sleeve used especially for joining or binding one part of another. Yeah, so it seems like it's this metal pipey thing, which I guess is basically what a fret is. They sort of just hammer it into the fingerboard at different places. You will notice that the frets at the end of the fingerboard, closer to where the tuning keys are, they're farther apart than the ones closer to where you're strumming. They get closer and closer and closer as you go. And that is all, that all has to do with physics and acoustics and how vibrations work. If you press down halfway on the string, that will create an octave. So the string is vibrating at ba, and then if you press halfway on it, then the new note will be an octave higher, ba ba ba. And you know, I can't describe all the little details about where you press and stuff, but basically, because of physics and the way strings vibrate, there are specific places to get different notes. And it all depends on like how that stringed instrument is tuned, which note is which string, etc. So that's a fret. Sometimes you will see fretless guitars and basses, and you gotta be real skilled to know where to put your fingers, because there's no frets telling you where to go. Although sometimes they will put little dots or little ornamentation things to say, here's the octave and here's the fifth, and then you could sort of figure it out from there. I believe the bass player and lead singer and writer of the band Morphine, Mark Sandman, He played a fretless, I think it was a two-string fretless bass. He probably just took two strings off of a fretless bass. He only used two strings, and it was fretless, and so you could sort of, you could, like, move your fingers up and down, to make very smooth glissandos, is that the word? You could go from one note to another note very smoothly, because when you do it on a fretted instrument, it's going to sort of stop at each of the frets a little bit. All right, I think that's enough for that one, but now we must go. Whoops. The sixth form of fret. This one is a transitive verb from 1602, and it is to press against the frets. To press against the frets. And the things that you're pressing the strings of a stringed instrument against the frets. So you are fretting your guitar by pressing the strings on the frets of the guitar, and maybe there's some erosion that happens at the same time. Maybe you are fretting the frets and the strings while you're doing that, because you press them down so much. There is a definition of fret that I'm not sure if it was in here. I guess it kind of was in a couple of these. Agitating. What else? Where was the other one that I saw? Verb. No, not there. To become vexed or worried. That's the one. That was in the previous episode. That reminds me, there is a song lyric that has the word fret. It's the only one that comes to mind that uses the fret. And I think it goes, "Don't you fret, Monsieur Marius, I don't feel any pain." Ooh, I didn't get the notes right at the end there, but that's okay. That's from Les Miserables, when a certain character is dying. Oh, it's such a beautiful song, because they're singing together. Oh, it's heart-wrenching and beautiful harmonies. Okay, now we gotta go on to... Whoops! Fretful is the next entry here. I should be saying the next entry instead of the next word, because sometimes it's more than one word that is here, and so I should say the next entry. Fretful, adjective from 1594. This is disposed to fret. The synonyms are irritable and restless. So if you are disposed to fret, that means you are likely to fret, to become vexed or worried. Oh, you're so fretful. You're always worried about things eroding and where to put your frets. The other forms, fretfully is an adverb and fretfulness is a noun. I guess sometimes I could be kind of fretful. I can sort of get easily a little worried or bothered, little nervous about, what about this? You know, I can be a little neurotic sometimes. I try not to be. I've gotten better as I've aged, because I've realized that nothing matters and who the hell cares. Oops. Now we have fret saw. It's the word fret and the word saw just mushed together into one word. Noun from 1865. This is a saw that resembles a coping saw, but usually has a deeper frame and is used for cutting curved outlines. So I now, of course, need to look up a fret saw. And the thing that I want to know is there is no etymology. Why is it called a fret saw? So I looked up a picture, and so this is the type of saw that... all right, so there's a wooden handle, and then from the wooden handle attached to that is different versions of this, but it's basically a very large U. It's a metal U that sort of goes up and then does a quick little curve and goes across and then a quick little curve back down, and in between the top of the U is the actual saw part, the parts that got the serrated edges or whatever thing this is. And it's, why is it a fret saw? Do you use it to make the frets on a guitar? I don't know. I did see, what was the thing here? There was fret saw versus coping saw. How are we comparing the two? What is a coping saw compared to a fret saw? I don't know. I should probably not look at images. I should look at this. Fret saws and coping saws are both hand saws used for intricate cutting. So I think you're trying to do like really little detailed cutting. But they differ in blade attachment, frame design, and cutting capabilities. Fret saws, often favored for delicate work like jewelry or model making, use blades secured by clamps and excel in fine detail and tight curves. Coping saws, more versatile for general woodworking, utilize pinned blades and a shallower frame, making them suitable for thicker materials and coping molding. All right, that was great. I don't do any of the woodworking, but if you do, you probably already knew the difference between a fret saw and a coping saw. And I don't know why we're using the word fret. I'm getting really fretted. I'm really fretting. I'm fretting so hard because I don't know why fret is used in fret saw. Oops! Next is fret work. I'm going to assume that fret work is made by a fret saw. Fret work is a noun from 1601. Number one, decoration, consisting of work adorned with frets. And I believe that those would be the frets way back here. You know, the ornamental network, the ornamental things, anything else? Nope, I think that's it. So that's what that is. And number two, ornamental open work or work in relief. So relief, I think that's where you're cutting into the thing. It's cut into, so it goes back into the wood or whatever it is that you're working on, I believe. I guess it could be coming out, but either way, you've cut something out of it. Yeah. Fret work. Oh, man, look at that beautiful fret work they did. They were using a fret saw. They were maybe using some chisels and other things to make fret work. Whoops! We are done with all the frets, and now we are getting into Freudian. Capital Freudian, adjective from 1910. This is of, relating to, or according with the psychoanalytic theories or practices of Sigmund Freud. Freudian is also a noun, and Freudianism is a noun. So there is no etymology because it tells you right there in the definition this comes from Sigmund Freud. I shall put a link in the show notes about Freudian, anything that's related to Freud, what he was talking about, what he was thinking about, what he was psychoanalyzing. But we know, a lot of us know, that most of what he talked about, what he is often known for is things that are related to sex, pretty much. I think there was a lot of dream stuff, it seems like a lot of what he said always came down to sex in some form. And what's that phrase? A cigar isn't always just a cigar? Yeah, so that is Freudian, and now we shall go on to a related word. It's Freudian slip. Whoops, didn't mean to say that. It was a Freudian slip. Noun from 1941. This is a slip of the tongue that is motivated by and reveals some unconscious aspect of the mind. Now, I don't really think that most Freudian slips, when we say something we didn't mean to and then we say, oops, Freudian slip, I don't think it's that we actually believe that in our unconscious. Sometimes it is. I think that they use this in comedy, in movies, say. Like, the first thing that I can think of is in the movie National Lampoon's Christmas, when he is talking to the woman who works at the store and he wants to get a gift for his wife, and he keeps on saying words that are related to how sexy the woman is, but he doesn't mean it, but that's what's going on in his head. But I feel like in real life, it doesn't really happen like that. It's more so that we just say the wrong word, And we call it a Freudian slip because there's something that makes it seem like, well, maybe that was part of your unconscious, but it wasn't really. We just said the wrong word. I don't know. I think we use it more than is probably accurate. But anyway, it's fun to say funny things and say, oh, that was a Freudian slip. See, I just say the wrong word sometimes. But I would like to know, like, are there, I want examples. Here we go. Freudian slip example. What would be an example? It's also called a parapraxis. It's a verbal or memory mistake that is thought to reveal a hidden or repressed desire or thought. Essentially, it's an unintentional error in speech or action that suggests an underlying unconscious motive. Here are some examples. When you say, I love you, when you mean, I like you. When you refer to your teacher as mom or dad, that's pretty funny. I wonder if I ever did that. When you mispronounce a word, when you forget a name, misreading or misquoting something, walking into a room and forgetting why. That's a Freudian slip, really? Accidentally calling your current partner by your ex's name. Ooh. I have a story about that, which I feel like I don't want to say. It was not me who did it. It was somebody else who did it. It's a funny story. Two stories, actually, with the same person. But I won't go there. Where I am going to go is I'm going to say, whoops, because I made a Freudian slip. The next entry is Frey, capital F-R-E-Y. Noun from 1851. This is the Norse god of fertility, crops, peace, and prosperity. That's a lot of things. That Norse god Frey is very busy. Fertility, crops, peace, and prosperity. Well, you know, when you bring in prosperity into that mix, you can sort of see a connection between all of those. They sort of seem different. But you know, fertility, oh, it's very prosperous when you are fertile and you're having a baby or something. Crops, we got a lot of crops. That's pretty prosperous. Peace, I guess prosperity and peace. Is that a lot of prosperity when we got a lot of peace? Sure, why not? So, Frey, this is from the Old Norse Freyr. We just changed it to Frey when it came to English. Frey. I feel like I have heard this word. I wonder if it was in that book, American Gods. I think I read the first book. So maybe Frey was in there. I don't remember. Norse god. So I think the other Norse gods would be like Thor and Loki and who was their dad? I can't think of his name. It might never come to me, but it's a big one. It's not Zeus, because that's Greek. It's the other one. Anyway, moving on to whoops-a-daisy. Freya. Same word as Frey, but with an A at the end. Noun from 1691. What do you think Freya is? When all we did was add an A, this is the Norse goddess of love and beauty. I guess would it be the Greek or Roman version would be Aphrodite, I think, is the goddess of love and beauty or something like that. Venus? Is Venus the same? Is it the two names for the same goddess, or are they different goddesses altogether? I don't know. I don't have all of that information in my head. Freya, if you hear Freya, then you will know that that is the Norse goddess of love and beauty. Oops! FRG is next, all caps, abbreviation for Federal Republic of Germany. I wonder if that's pretty old. Is that an old term? Because I don't think Germany is calling itself the Federal Republic of Germany these days. Oop-a-day! Next we have Fry, F-R-I. This is an abbreviation for Friday, Friday, Friday. Unfortunately, it is not Friday for me right now. But tomorrow is Thursday, which is actually my Friday, because the Friday is for the 4th of July and we don't have to work. Most people don't have to work. So, tomorrow is Friday for me, TGIF. Thank goddess it's Friday. Whoops! Now we have friable. Adjective from 1563. This is easily crumbled or pulverized, as in the example, friable soil. Now, it's not friable as in you're putting it in the oil to fry, psh, oh, make those fries real crispy. No, it's easily crumbled or pulverized. Now, the synonym is the word fragile or fragile or fragile. And I do kind of remember back in that word, there was maybe some synonym information and friable was there, and I was not familiar with it, and I'm still not familiar with it. Friability is a noun. How much friability does that soil have? How much friability does that soil have? It has so much friability, because when you touch it, it just goes, turns into a dust and gets sprayed all out into the world. This word is from the Latin friare. That means to crumble. And there's more at the word friction. So that's really just all this is. Friable just means able to crumble. Maybe someday my brain will crumble into lots of little pieces, so my brain will be friable when I get all dried out. Whoop! Next is friar, F-R-I-A-R, noun from the 13th century. Now, this is spelled differently than the friar that you put the fries in, but I think it's pronounced the same way. Friar and friar, friar, friar. Which friar am I talking about? Is it that friar or this friar? This friar is F-R-I-A-R. I don't know if I said that. It is a member of a mendicant order. A member of a mendicant order. But I think the etymology might help a little bit more. This is from the Anglo-French frère or frère, which literally means brother. And of course, there's a connection to fraternity and other words that start with FR. So yeah, we're using that same thing. Yes, here, Latin, frater, which means there's more at the word brother. So you know, the friars, you know, you think of what, Friar Tuck and Friar John and Friar Homer Simpson, they are probably wearing the robes, and maybe there's like a rope around their waist, and maybe they got some funky hairdo, or maybe they wear something on their head, I don't know, but they're brothers, brothers from other mothers, and they are friars. How are these different from monks? Should we look that up? Let's look up friar. Oop, gotta spell it right. Friar versus. So there's a number of things that pop up here. Friar versus priest. Friar versus monk. Friar versus father. Friar versus monk versus priest. Let's just look up friar versus monk, because that's what I want to know. And now I think it's funny to have a fight between a friar and a monk. In this corner, we have Friar Tuck. And in this corner, we have Monkey. Let's see. In essence, the key difference between a friar and a monk lies in their lifestyle and mission. Monks typically live a cloistered life of prayer and contemplation within a monastery, while friars are members of mendicant orders who are called to serve God and others through active ministry and engagement with the world. So basically, monks are going out into the world to get what they believe out there. But monks typically live. They don't go out in the world as much. And they're just like, I think I need to pray a lot and not tell other people what I think. But if you scroll down a little bit, there is a video from 2017, which is the thumbnail says, Friar, Monk, or Jedi. And I think that they show pictures of different people, and you have to figure out if they are a friar, a monk, or a Jedi, because they wear similar clothes. And I think that's pretty funny. All right. Now that we talked way too much about fryers who are making fries, we got to go, whoops. Now we have fryerly, adjective from 1549, resembling a fryer, or also relating to fryers. Anything that's relating to fryers, those brothers resembling them in some way, maybe Jedis are fryerly because they resemble fryers. And I guess monks too. Whoops! Friar's lantern is next. Two words, noun from 1632. This is obsolete. The synonym is ignis fatuus. I-G-N-I-S. Second word is fatuus, F-A-T-U-U-S. A double U. Now I feel like I need to do a quick little search way back here in the eyes. Wow, am I really going to read this whole dictionary in podcast form? That's a lot. Let's see. Where is... Is it not even in here? Oh, here it is. Ignis fatuus. That's how it's supposed to be pronounced. Ignis fatuus. And let's see. How much information do I want to give you here? It's something... It's a light that is created because of the combustion of gas. So that ignis fatuus seems like the proper term, but we used to call it friar's lantern for some reason. I don't understand. Would the friars pick this stuff up and walk around with it to light their way? Yes, it seems a very old term for this thing. Friar's lantern. Whoops! Next is friary. F-R-I-A-R-Y, noun from 1538. Now, what we got a lot of 1500s here, or a couple of them. So, a friary is a monastery of friars. Where do the friars live? They live in the friary. It's like an aviary, which is for birds, but this is for friars. So, it's the friary. Whoops! Next is fribble. F-R-I-B-B-L-E, first form, verb, from the 1633. First is transitive, which is to trifle or fool away. And intransitive, number one, the synonym is trifle. And number two, which is obsolete, the synonym is daughter. D-O-D-D-E-R, not daughter like sons and daughters. It's daughter. Like, I guess that would be similar to trifle. What are you, trifling away your time when you stay in bed all day? Are you just fribbling away the day? I can't do that. And just this morning, I was thinking about, even if I wanted to sleep all day, I wouldn't be able to. I would be awake at a certain point, and then I'd be like, what am I doing? I gotta get out of bed. I gotta do stuff. I can't sleep. So this is fribbling. The origin is unknown. What? Fascinating. Yeah, it's just like, blech, that's just, you're trifling that away. Maybe you're fribbling your money, spending it on things that you don't need. You're being such a fool when you're fribbling your money. All right. I don't think I've really heard this. I've heard of tribbles, the trouble of with tribbles from the original Star Trek show. But fribble, this one is new to me, and it's a very good word. But next we have the second form of fribble, noun from 1664. This is a frivolous person, thing, or idea. And fribble is also an adjective. So if you are someone who is fribbling your money, fribbling your time, fribbling your... what else? Fribbling the day, just wasting time, then you would be a fribble. Oh, that fribble is such a fribble. That's a fribble, fribble, fribble in the day. Frivolous. Now, we will get to the word frivolous in a little bit in the future. But I take it to mean just sort of being liberal with your stuff. here you go. Take my stuff. I don't need it. I don't want it. Or it's like, you don't care. Me, you just don't care about anything. And I think often money tends to be described in this way, or using money. So that is fribble. A fribble is fribbling. Always am I fribbling. Whoops. Now we have the word fricando. Fricando. Yep, that's it. Fricando. FRICANDEAU. Fricando. Noun from 1706. This is larded veal roasted and glazed. So you take the veal, which is a baby cow, the meat, a dead baby cow. You lard it. It's a larded veal. So are you soaking it in lard, putting lard on it, which is just fat, really? And then you roast it and you glaze it. Are you glazing it with the lard as well? Ugh. I mean, listen, I'm sure it tastes amazing, but between the murder of a baby animal and adding a ton of lard to it, this sounds really disgusting to me. It's a fricando. Why is it called the fricando? Of course, you are asking me this question. This is French. Probably from the F-R-I-C, from fricassere, and also the A-N-D-E, the A-N-D-E, and then it says as in viand, so I guess that would be the A-N-D-E from the word viand, which means meat, and also the E-A-U suffix. Which I don't know what that means in French. Just ooh, that's the word ooh, frickin' do. So the suffix and the word meat and fricassere or fricassee, which I think is, it's a cooking term, right? So you're fricasseeing the meat and you're making a fricando. Fricando. Whoops. Now we, oh, here we go. Here's the word fricassee. Or fricassee. Now this one, fricassee or fricassee, F-R-I-C-A-S-S-E-E, or you can put an accent on the second to last E, the acute one goes whoop. So fricassee, noun from 1568. This is a dish of pieces of meat or vegetables stewed in stock and served in a white sauce. And an example of the meat would be chicken, but I'm sure you can use lots of different kinds of meats if you want to. So the fricassee is the dish. It is the dish with the white sauce and the stock and the meat or the vegetables, whatever you want. You can make a fricassee out of that stuff. There is a little bit of etymology, but we can probably assume that it's similar. Although, I guess it's backtrack. It's fricando came from fricassee, and fricassee is from the French verb fricasser, which means to fricassee, the action of fricasseeing, which is basically now our next and last word. So let's just get into that. Wow, whoops, I didn't mean to do that or say that. It's the second form of fricassee, but I do think I've heard people say fricassee. This is the transitive verb from 1657, and it means to cook as a fricassee. I would really like some more etymology, but I guess it's literally just the French word means this action. So we just took the French word, they just made up this word as in this action of fricasseeing. But what is fricasseeing? What does it mean to do that? What is the action of fricasseeing? F-R-I-C-A-S-S-E-E? Let's look up fricassee definition. It's the dish of the stuff. Wikipedia. My good friend, Wikipedia. So it's a stew made of the brown butter. pieces of meat that have been browned in butter, then served in a sauce flavored with the cooking stock. Fricassee is usually made with chicken, veal, or rabbit, with variations limited only by what ingredients the cook has at hand. So is it like the browning of the butter that's the thing? Oh, here we go. Here's some. We don't have definite etymology, but it's theorized to be a compound of the French word frire. How do you? It's the word. It's their word to fry, F-R-I-R-E, frire, so frying, and then casser or quasser, which means to break in pieces. So maybe you're taking the meat and you're breaking it into pieces, and then you're frying it up, and that's why we got fricassee. I'm gonna say that's enough. That's enough information for me. The breaking apart into pieces and the frying makes the word fricassee. Okay. And, you know, the fricando is maybe a kind of fricassee. It's got the veal and it's all that stuff. All right. Now, we are going to now pick a word of the episode. Today we had these words. We had fret, 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 fret. Fretful, fretsaw, fretwork, Freudian, Freudian slip, fray, Freya, FRG, fry, friable, friar, friarly, friar's lantern, friary, fribble, fribble, fricando, fricassee, fricassee. All right, there's a couple that I like. I like Freudian slip. I like to say fribble. That's just a very fun word. You can't doubt that. You cannot argue with me that fribble is a fun word to say. Let's see. Friar's lantern is interesting. Which one? Freudian slip. I called my teacher mom. I called my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend's name. These are Freudian slips. That was terrible. So bad. So bad. I can't think of a specific time where I made a Freudian slip, but I know I've said many. Even on this podcast, I've probably said many, many, many Freudian slips. Oops, that came out. Didn't mean to show you a little bit of my unconsciousness. Unconsciousness? My unconscious? Words are coming out of my head. I don't know what I'm saying. That's a Freudian slip. Nope, not really. Whatever. We're going to stop that part right now. And what we're going to do, all of we right here, we are going to tell you about another movie that I watched. Which is, I looked it up before and I can't remember. It was, Detective Pikachu. I am not a Pokemon person, but I remember seeing trailers for this movie, whatever, how many ever years ago that was. And it looked really interesting and kind of funny. And I think Ryan Reynolds plays Pikachu. And just visually, it looked pretty interesting. The CGI on the Pokemon mixed with the real life stuff looked pretty good. Just looked sort of funny and silly. And I enjoy that. And so I watched it on the plane. And I enjoyed it. It was fun. I probably didn't appreciate the jokes to their full extent because I am not a Pokemon person. But I understand the concept that there are these different creatures that look silly and have silly names and really just say their name over and over again. That's why they have that name. There's a guy who could hear what the Pokemon is saying, what the Pikachu is saying, and Pikachu is a detective and what? That's crazy. And anyway, it was a fun movie. And I think I kind of remember the end. And if you just like some silliness, then you can watch Detective Pikachu. Pika Pika! That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. And until next time, which is probably, tomorrow. Let's see. This one is airing on July 31st. And tomorrow is August 1st, so there will be another episode. This has been Spencer, dispensing information so perfectly and well and great, and he makes no mistakes. Goodbye.